Brother Mark has chosen for his subject for this afternoon, Three Women and Three Covenants. Three Women and Three Covenants. Brother Mark.
Well, good afternoon, brethren. Again, it's indeed a real privilege and a joy for Sister Henriette and I to be with you here at the Chicago class and the convention this day. And we've enjoyed the fellowship and the question meeting, and it's been very encouraging for us to be here. Three women and three covenants. Sarah, Hagar, and Keturah were three women who each, at various points in time, had children with Abraham. And God used the events in their lives of these three women to illustrate and explain three of his covenants. In Galatians, the fourth chapter, verses 22 through 24, from the Diaglot, we're going to read, Galatians 4, 22 through 24 says, "For it has been written that Abraham had two sons, one from a bondwoman and one from the free woman. Now the one from the bondwoman was naturally produced, but the other from the free woman was through the promise." In verse 24, "Which things are allegorical, for these represent two covenants." Here the word allegory, it means when persons or events in their lives personify concepts or ideas. And we might use the expression, it becomes an illustration or even a type lived by people. In fact, the Rotherham in verse 24, instead of the word allegorical, it uses this phrase, "which things indeed may bear another meaning." So things that may bear another meaning. And of course, a covenant is an agreement between two or more parties. With the handout, we're going to begin with the side that has kind of the rows and columns. And what we will do is we have kind of the three headings, columns 1, 2, and 3. And we're going to, as we go along, go down column 1, about two-thirds of the way down. And then we're going to skip over to column 2 and do the same, and then column 3. And off on the left, the rows are identified with letters. So as we go along, we'll try and call out the column and the row so it's maybe a little easier to follow along. In row A of the handout, in the allegory, Abraham pictures God. And in fact, there are several scriptures, as I'm sure you're aware, where the Heavenly Father was referred to as the husbandman. Isaiah 54, verse 5 says, "For thy maker is thine husband, and the Lord of hosts is his name." And Jeremiah 31, 32 speaks of, "My covenant which they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord." In row B of the chart, as we read in Galatians, the fourth chapter, verse 24, the wives were allegorical and pictured covenants. And we have Sarah, Abraham's first wife, and how she pictures the grace covenant. And then we have Hagar, who was a handmaid or servant, and she pictured the law covenant. And then we have Keturah, who was first a concubine and later a wife. And so the women picture covenants. So beginning under the first column, number 1, we find in row B, Sarah was a wife, as mentioned in Genesis 11, 29, and 30. She was not a servant. She was free. In Galatians 4, chapter verse 28, Sarah pictures the grace covenant under which the church class is being developed during the gospel age. In Galatians 4, specifically verse 28 and 31 in the NIV, says, "Now you brothers, like Isaac, are children of promise. Therefore, brothers, we are not children of the slave woman, but of the free woman." And we refer to this covenant as the grace covenant, because as it states in Romans 11, 5 and 6, at the present time there is a remnant chosen by grace. And if by grace, then it is no longer by works. In Ephesians 2, verse 8, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. And also in Titus, the third chapter, verses 4 through 7, we're told that he saved us not because of righteous things we have done, but because of his mercy, that we might be justified by grace, and that we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. And so we see how, for the church class, it's not because we are more righteous than anyone else, or that we are better than anyone else, but it is because of God's grace. In row C, we find with Sarah that she was barren for many years. And in fact, when she's first introduced to us in Genesis, it states that she was barren. And so too, allegorically, this pictures how the church class was developed a long time after the promise originally given to Abraham, after God's law covenant with Israel. In row D, under column 1, Sarah's son was, of course, named Isaac, and Abraham was 100 years old. Isaac allegorically pictured Christ. Galatians 3:16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. In row E, the promise given to Sarah's child Isaac. Genesis 17, verse 19 and 21, God said, I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant. And in Genesis 21, 12, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. In row F, we find years later, Abraham would offer up his only son Isaac in sacrifice as God instructed. As it says in Genesis 22, verse 10 and 12, when Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son, per God's instructions, then the angel of the Lord said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And we see how allegorically this pictures how God gave his only begotten son, Jesus, to die as a ransom for all. John 3:16. How God gave his only begotten son. In row G, under the first column, we see how Isaac was a willing sacrifice. And this is in Genesis 22, verse 6. And this was a point we recall many years ago, Brother Leo Post, who I'm sure you know well from his service here, brought out how in Genesis 22, 6, Abraham laid the wood for the sacrifice upon Isaac. And of course, wood is rather heavy to carry if you have quite a load of it. And so this showed that Isaac was strong. He was not just a young, weak boy, but he was strong, carrying the wood for the sacrifice. And so this shows how Isaac had to be a willing sacrifice. And so allegorically in John 10, 15 and 18, we know that Jesus willingly gave his life as a ransom sacrifice for all. In John 10, 15 and 18, Jesus said, I lay down my life for the sheep. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. In row H, under the first column, Abraham instructed his servant Eliezer to select a bride for Abraham's son Isaac. You recall how Rebekah was called out to leave her family and homeland and to journey to meet her bridegroom. And so also, allegorically, we see the picture how during the gospel age that the call of the church class is also to leave behind the human and earthly hopes and goals and ambitions to become the bride of Christ, the Lamb's wife. We have Ephesians 5, 22 through 33, and also in 2 Corinthians 11, 2, Paul writes, "For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." Next, going to column 2, which is in the center, sort of lightly shaded, Hagar. In row B, we find that Hagar was a servant. She was not free. Genesis 16, verse 1. Hagar pictured the law covenant, as it says in Galatians 4, 24 through 25, that the one covenant was from Mount Sinai and bears children who are to be slaves. This is Hagar. And now Hagar stands for Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present city of Jerusalem because she is in slavery with her children. And of course, Israel was referred to as a house of servants. And in Hebrews, the third chapter, verse 5, it speaks how Moses was faithful in all his house as a servant. In row C, we find how Ishmael was born before Isaac, and so too the law covenant was made with Israel before the development of the church class. In row D, we find that Hagar's son was named Ishmael, and Abraham was 86 years old when Ishmael was born, and that was a picture, he was a picture of the nation of Israel. Because in row E, we find the promise God gave to Ishmael in Genesis 17, verse 20. In that verse, Genesis 17, 20, there's actually four key promises. It says there in Genesis 17, 20, "But as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him, number one, fruitful. Number two, will multiply him exceedingly. Number three, 12 princes shall he beget. And number four, and I will make him a great nation." We find in the allegory in Genesis 35, verses 10 through 11, these same key promises are repeated to natural Israel, where God had selected Jacob's 12 sons to be his chosen people, the nation of Israel, during the Jewish age. There in Genesis 35, 10 and 11, it says, "And God said unto him," referring to Jacob, "Thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name." And there it says, one, be fruitful, two, and multiply in a nation, and it says, three, and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. And then later on, we have the fourth aspect in Genesis 49:28, where it says, all these are the 12 tribes of Israel. So it's interesting how the promises given to Ishmael, those four major promises, were identically repeated later on in Genesis to natural Israel. There's also one additional aspect as well, and that is that we find that in Genesis 21, 9 and 10, where you recall when Ishmael mocked Isaac, how Sarah asked Abraham to cast out Hagar and Ishmael. And so too, at Jesus' first advent, we have in Matthew 23:38, how natural Israel was to be cast off, where when Jesus said, "Behold, your house is left unto you desolate." Moving on to the third column, which is the dark shaded on the left, We see how in Galatians, the fourth chapter, God gives us an understanding of what an allegory is and how to apply it to his covenants. And so we see if Abraham's wife Sarah pictured a covenant, the grace covenant, and Abraham had a child through her, and then Sarah's servant Hagar pictured a covenant, the law covenant, and Abraham had a child through her, it would be reasonable for us to determine or investigate if Keturah pictured some covenant. And we find in 1 Chronicles 1, verse 32, Keturah is listed as a concubine, and that she had six sons through Abraham. And the account there is earlier in Genesis, Sarah had died when she was 127 years old, and then Abraham's son Isaac marries Rebecca, and then we find in the Genesis account, Abraham takes Keturah as a wife. And so, under column 3 in row B, we believe Keturah is another significant type, and that she pictures the new covenant. And along this line of reasoning, we came across a talk on the new covenant by Brother George Yike from many years ago. And it's on the CD, The Voices of the Past, if you have that. And he used the analogy along this line. And he said, in the book of Hebrews, a lot of references are made to various components of the tabernacle and what each component pictures, such as the holy and the most holy and the candlestick and the table of showbread and so forth. But not every component of the tabernacle is specifically mentioned and explained in the book of Hebrews. Aspects such as the court, the gate, the laver, things like that, are not specifically mentioned by name in the book of Hebrews. And yet we know that God's instructions to Moses were that every component of the tabernacle had to be made exactly and precisely as God instructed. As Hebrews 8, verse 5 says, God said, see that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. But we know by comparing other scriptures in the Bible beyond the book of Hebrews, and with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can appreciate these lessons on these other aspects of the tabernacle. And in fact, in our study book, Tabernacle Shadows of Better Sacrifices, in the last chapter entitled Other Significant Types, those tabernacle components not specifically or necessarily mentioned in the book of Hebrews are discussed by comparing scripture with scripture and with the help of the Holy Spirit. And so Keturah is another significant type or allegory and pictures the new covenant for really two main reasons. One is, and if you skip down to row I under column 3, the timing. The timing when Abraham took Keturah as a wife. It is after Isaac marries Rebecca in Genesis 24:66 that we then find in Genesis 25:1, we're told Abraham takes Keturah as a wife. And so after the bride of Christ is completed, after the marriage of the bridegroom, Christ, to the bride, the church, then the new covenant will be in operation. In Revelation 19:7-8 says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And in Hebrews 8, verses 8 and 10, it says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. For this is the covenant that I will make after those days, after the gospel age, after the completion of the church class. And God continues and says, I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. The second reason that Keturah, we believe, pictures the new covenant was what was given to Keturah's sons. Keturah's sons were not Abraham's heirs. Isaac was the only heir of Abraham. But Keturah's sons, they did receive gifts from Abraham. Jumping down to row J, and then under column 1, we see in Genesis 25:5, it says, Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac. And so too, the allegory is Galatians 3:29, and if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. In row J, under column 3, we find in Genesis 25:6, but unto the sons of the concubines, which would include Keturah's sons, which Abraham had, Abraham gave gifts. And so we believe a nice picture of how in the kingdom, how Israel and the world and mankind will receive blessings, gifts. Gifts such as no more sickness or sorrow or death. The blessing and gifts of joy and peace. Keturah had 6 sons, and we believe those 6 sons perhaps pictured the world of mankind. The number 6 indicating a symbol of imperfection or incompletion, just as oftentimes how the number 7 in the Bible often pictures completeness or perfection. So even though Keturah is not mentioned by name in Galatians, the 4th chapter, we believe that perhaps it was not God's due time for the new covenant to be understood at that point in time. In row K of the handout, we find under column 1, location. In Galatians 4:24-26, referring to the Sarah Grace Covenant, we're told that Jerusalem, which is above, is free. And so allegorically showing how the church class's reward is a heavenly reward. Philippians 3:20 from the NIV says, but our citizenship is in heaven. In Hebrews 12:22-23, but you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. And 1 Peter 1:4, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. So we see the heavenly reward. And also 2 Corinthians 5:1-2, which speaks of our longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. Whereas under column 2 with Hagar, Galatians 4:24-26, referring to the law covenant, says that Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, referring to the law covenant, so also Moses received the law covenant at Mount Sinai. So we see this connection with Mount Sinai and the law covenant. We'd like to also mention at the bottom of the handout several really good reprint articles were reprint 1386 and 4439. And then also in the book Pastor Russell's Sermons, there is an article on pages 200-207 which explained very nicely the divine plan hidden in Abraham's family. And it goes beyond just the wives of Abraham, but also in more detail the call of Rebekah and the gifts given to her and to her family. Next, we'd like to turn the handout over to the back side. And what we have is along the x-axis is a timeline of Abraham's age. And so we find that starting on the left, Abram took Sarah as a wife, and we're told in Genesis 11:29-30 that Sarah is barren. And then when Abraham, we're told, is 75 years old, he departs Haran for Canaan. And then it's when Abraham's 86 years old that Abraham has a son, Ishmael, through Hagar, Sarah's maid. And that's confirmed with the fact that at the top, in Genesis 16:3, we're told Abram lived 10 years in Canaan when Sarah gave her maid Hagar to Abram. And then we have to, it's not until Abraham is 99 years old that God tells Abraham that he would have a son through Sarah. And in Genesis 21:5, Isaac is born when Abraham is 100 years old. And so one question is, when did Abraham have the six sons with Keturah? And we don't have a very exact scripture, so we have to be a little bit careful, and we're not dogmatic. But we might ask ourselves, did Abraham have six sons with Keturah before he turned 86 years old? And we think not likely, because Genesis 15:3 tells us that at that time, Abraham had no offspring. Did Abram have the six sons with Keturah after Isaac was born? We don't think that's likely either, because Isaac was conceived due to God's overruling providence and power. And it would have been unlikely that God would have repeated that six more times when Abraham was even older. So when did Abraham have these six sons with Keturah? And again, this is just a suggestion, but we would suggest that it was in some time period after Ishmael was born that Abraham had six sons through Keturah, which was his concubine at that time. And if that's true, then there may have been a second period before Isaac was born when Abraham was no longer able to father children. And if that's true, you can just imagine what faith Abraham was tested on when Abraham was then 99 years old, and if he had not been able to father any children for some period of time, it was not only Sarah's faith that was tested, since she was barren really her entire life, but also Abraham's faith was tested, because there was now a period where for some period of time he may not have fathered any children. And if that's true, then we see what a faith Abraham and Sarah both had to have. And then going a little further, you can imagine later on when Isaac is old enough and is a willing sacrifice, and he's the only heir, what a faith Abraham had, his sole heir that he offered up in obedience to the Heavenly Father. So it's just a suggestion. Perhaps you may have a different thought on that, but it was something that appealed to us, so for your consideration. So why does God make covenants? To teach us lessons, to help us understand his plans and his purposes, and to convey blessings. We notice how God chose the relationship between a husband and wife in Galatians and their children to illustrate three of his covenants. Notice what God did not choose to use to illustrate his covenants. God did not use a contract to illustrate his covenants. A business or commercial contract is rather cold and impersonal. Contracts are typically cut and dried, and for a limited time, and mainly from a legal standpoint. God did not use a teacher-to-student arrangement to illustrate his covenants. A teacher-to-student arrangement is mainly a one-way situation, the teacher instructing the student. It, too, can be mainly impersonal, as very few students are personally close with their teacher. In fact, after the semester ends, most students don't even stay in contact with their teacher. That arrangement's strictly from an educational standpoint. But God chose to use this relationship between a husband and wife and their children, we believe, to give us a clearer insight and a deeper insight into his dealings with man. Because the husband-wife relationship is a close relationship a lasting relationship, a warm and loving relationship, and it's a mutual relationship. And so are God's covenants with man. What are some of the benefits of knowing God's covenant and which covenant we are under? If we know which covenant we are under, we can be better enabled to serve God. And if we know God's covenants, we then also have the opportunity to receive the blessings and ultimately the rewards offered under the covenant if we're found faithful. And so for those under the Sarah Grace Covenant, of course, they must accept Christ as their Savior and willingly and fully offer themselves up in sacrifice and consecration to God, just as Isaac did. And if found faithful, those under the Sarah Grace Covenant will receive a heavenly reward and be joint heirs with Christ. After the marriage of the Lamb, Christ and his bride is complete, then the new covenant will go into operation. And those upon the earth, Israel and all mankind, and all in their graves who will be raised from the dead, will receive these gifts, just like the children of the concubine from Abraham receive gifts, the kingdom blessings. And so we hope that this review would stimulate your thinking and that you would have an opportunity to review some of these reprints listed on the first side relative to this allegory of Abraham and his wives and the covenants.